is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.077 The Bronc, .077TheBronc.com. Proudly nominated for National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Don DeRosa, Sean Johnson, No Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Googs.
Oh, yeah.
And if you notice, we had another voice. Ryan Reynolds is back with us again, and he's not on Zoom or Google Meets. He's in studio. Reynolds, how's it feel to be in studio with us for the first time in a while? It's been a couple of years.
I think it's been 2 years since I was in the studio, so one of my favorite podcasts to listen to with a bunch of great guys, so I'm excited to be here.
We're definitely excited to have you here. So we have Ryan Reynolds, like I said, in the studio. And I should mention that it was someone's birthday yesterday. Sean Johnson turned the big 21. How's it feel, buddy?
It feels great, man. Finally hit the big 21. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, you can now get adult beverages and stuff like that. And
I can finally have my first drink.
You had your first drink?
Legally. Okay.
No, ever, Noah, right? Ever.
Oh, yeah. Sure. His first one better be a good one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Noah?
What are you getting? What do you think you're getting since it's legal?
Straight vodka.
Oh, wow.
Straight vodka.
Whoa, Sean. He's going off.
Oh, man.
We'll decide that later, what I get from my first drink.
Yeah. We'll let you guys know what he does. And also, Sean, you're 21 now, so now you're now legally allowed to bet in the state of New Jersey.
Oh, $1,000 on the Knicks tonight.
He's on a roll.
Oh, man. No, yeah, so we're excited for you. Sean, you've been one of my best friends for a long time. We've had some great memories. And I'm just happy to, spend another birthday with you and another great year with you. And I'm sure we all are. We all have great fond memories of you. And we're just so happy that you're in our lives.
That's really nice. Wow, Anthony, get the set violins going, because that was
I need some tissues, please. I've been a little upset.
Come on. Yeah. Just wait, because Reynolds' birthday is I think it's a week. It's a week from today. He turns 22.
Wow. Ooh, there we go. I was about to ask.
So
February birthdays
are strong, but we got a lot of sports to cover. So we're going to kick it off with some football. Super Bowl happened last Sunday. So now we're kind of in this lull period with football as off season is slowly starting to begin. But there are some headlines already starting to happen. But first, we'll get into the Super Bowl, give our thoughts on it real quick. If, as many of you probably know, the Bucs did win by a good margin, over 20 points. Tom Brady wins his 7th rank. He's now 7 of 10 in the Super Bowl. He wins another MVP. I believe it's his 5th Super Bowl MVP. I think he played phenomenal, but I think that MVP should have went to Gronk. 2 touchdowns, over 60 passing yards. Probably did some blocking, for the running backs and for Brady himself. So I feel like it should have went to him, but nevertheless, Tom Brady got it. And I was right. I said this before, that O-line for the Chiefs was going to be a problem, and it was. They got to Mahomes, and they got to him fast, and they pressured him. And that running game was established with Fournette, and Ronald Jones. And I think from that point on, it opened the gates for Brady to do what he needed to do to get his team to the top. But Reynolds, I'll start with you, because we talked before, and you said that you were kind of disappointed. I think you knew they were going to win, but you were disappointed of how it kind of all played out in terms of it being kind of a blowout per se.
Yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl, you have two of probably the best quarterbacks in the league, Tom Brady, pretty much one of the greatest of all time. But then you got Patrick Mahomes, who is pretty much going to be the guy in the next few years after some of these quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, all go. But for it to be a blowout, it was not what I was expecting. I think, number one, you're going to need big players in big games, and look who got touchdowns. Gronk, who really didn't score a lot at all during the playoffs and got 2. And Antonio Brown, who's been in the headlines for a lot of reasons, but hey, you got a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And shout out to Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator for the Buccaneers. Set a great game plan against Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes made some brilliant plays that just guys couldn't catch, or and it was really causing them problems. And I think all, one of the things too is, I don't know if the Chiefs were ready for the physicality of the Buccaneers. The Bucs came in, and you see they're all like kind of getting fights. They weren't ready to back down, and I don't think the Chiefs were tough enough for that kind of game. And look what happened. They got smoked.
Yeah, yeah, they did get smoked. And, Dom, you know, you mentioned this before about, you know, Devin White being kind of almost like, I would say, probably the anchor of that defense. And, you know, he definitely showed up and made some big plays for that defense to get them to the win.
No, he really did. I mean, he was just against the Saints and the Packers. He was just quick, but also strong enough for a guy out there in the defense to catch up with speedy receivers or even big tight ends to take him down. By the way, I would like to mention when Tyreek Hill got the little peace sign to him when Tampa was going to win the Super Bowl late into that fourth quarter, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in like the whole year. So I was cracking up with that, by the way. That really put the cherry on top. And yeah, the Buccaneers played a phenomenal defense. They knew how to get to Mahomes and make him uncomfortable to where the pressure didn't lead to Mahomes getting 20 yards down the field running or passing. They covered Tyreek Hill well after he embarrassed Tampa Bay in the regular season with 200 yards and two touchdowns. And of course, I had to go against my friend that week in fantasy who had him. And the Buccaneers were just prepared all over. And Anthony, you and I said that if they get the running game going too, it's basically over. And Leonard Fournette really worked his way up into that rotation, and he got there as the more number one running back, but they did switch it up where it was him and Ronald Jones. Mm-hmm. Fournette looked really good, and Ronald Jones, too, had a couple of nice runs.
Yeah. Sean, what do you have to say about this game?
Yeah, that was a big bounce-back game for the Bucs after, you know, Dom just said they got embarrassed. What was it, week 11 or something like that? And, I mean, it looked like a completely different team. I mean, that defense was just amazing. Like you said, Tyreek Hill and, I mean, the entire offense just snapped in the first quarter alone. And, you know, they blew them out of the water. It's funny because they were all, you know, celebrating during that time. But then when it came, you know, when the lights were on them, big Super Bowl, of course, Tom Brady stepped up because, you know, he's just the GOAT.
Yeah, no, yeah, he did step up. And yeah, and that was a big kind of storyline they had going on during that game was that, you know, in that matchup, they got destroyed in that first quarter. They kind of did come back, but again, the Chiefs blew them out so early on that they couldn't come back. And also, it was a big thing because CBS broadcasted that game particularly, and then they also had the Super Bowl. So if anything, it was perfect that Jim Nantz and Romo were calling that game because they had probably the best knowledge out of any of the three big networks. Analyst for that game. If it was Joe Buck or Troy Aikman, it wouldn't have been probably that great. Or if it was Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. So it kind of the stars also kind of fell in the right spot too in terms of the production wise for the game itself. No, do you have anything else to add before we move on?
Yeah, just really quickly, that game ended up being like a 27-24 game that the Chiefs won. Like it became close. So I think that's why we all took the Bucs, like not just that reason, but we all knew that the Bucs were a completely different team. They were playing really well. They beat the Washington football team. They beat Breeze. They beat Aaron Rodgers. So they obviously were ready to go. And the other thing is, one last thing about the Super Bowl. I actually think you could also make a case for Leonard Fournette getting the MVP. He had 16 carries for 89 yards and a rushing touchdown, and then four catches for 46 yards. So like he had like almost 130 yards from scrimmage. So like he had a really good game too. So there were a lot of candidates. Obviously Tom Brady, Gronk, and Fournette, but it was a good game. We all predicted the Bucs would win.
Yeah,
and we were all right.
Yeah, we were all right. We were all 100% on that. So good on us. But yeah, so I mean that was a wrap for the Super Bowl and the NFL season as a whole. But NFL is still in the news. You know, real quick before we go to break, J.J. Watt has come out and said that he's frustrated with the Houston Texans and that he wants to move on. He went with the owners a couple days ago and released a video on Friday stating that he met with the owners and they have mutually parted ways and that he is going to be released from the team in the coming days. And this is a big deal because that means that not only is he going to move, but he's a free agent now. So he gets to choose where he wants to go. So it's not in the hands of the Texans to choose where he want to go. So obviously, you know, the Steelers are kind of the front runner because of his brother, TJ Watt, is there, and I feel like that'd be great for them and also for the team as well, just to add another defensive force. But Reynolds, do you think it's best for him to go to the Steelers, or do you think another team would benefit him even more? And if so, which one?
So I saw this, when did he drop that video? Friday?
Friday.
So I think before we talk about that, I think you got to highlight that. I mean, this is just the fault of the Texans organization. They got a new owner or GM, correct? Is that what?
Yeah, they got a new GM.
So obviously, what you could see where the issues stem from. I don't know if you saw the clip of after the one game where J.J. Watt went to Deshaun Watson and said, "Sorry, we wasted one of your years." Mm-hmm. Now look, Deshaun Watson wanted the OC from the Chiefs. They wanted, right? That's the new head coach.
Yeah.
And he didn't interview him.
Yeah, Eric Bieniemy.
And now I can see Deshaun Watson leaving, and then J.J. Watt. I mean, J.J. Watt is a class act. He gives you everything on the field. The guy's played through injuries. He's a great locker room presence. I think the Steelers move is kind of – I would put my odds on that just because of family. But that guy can step into any defensive line and start and do damage. So wherever he goes, he's going to have an impact. Even though he's on the underside of, like, just over 30, he's still got a few years left in the tank to give it.
Yeah. What about Sean, what about you? What are your thoughts on that? Do you think this deal is the right move for this next chapter in his career?
I mean, yeah, definitely the fact that he's actually got two brothers there, TJ Watt and Derek Watt. TJ Watt, who was just robbed of a defensive player of the year, which we talked about on Dom's show. But yeah, I could see him going there mainly just like Ren said, just because the family his family's there. But yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to see him team up with Deshaun Watson too, wherever he goes. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they were like the two highlight players of the Texans. So, you know, they were obviously close. And I like that thing that you also brought up, Ren, that he was like, you know, sorry, we wasted one of your years. And I mean, he was completely right. Deshaun Watson popped off that year, but it was not JJ Watt's fault. So, yeah. You know, it'd be nice to see them wherever they go. I mean, if it's the Jets, sorry, Noah. Deshaun Watson decides to go there for some reason. It's like he's choosing the Jets over the Texans. I don't really get that. He's like, oh, I'm tired of losing. Let me go to the Jets.
I agree with you 100%. That makes no sense to me. No sense.
But
that was the top option. The Jets were apparently them and the Dolphins, right? Why wouldn't you want to go to the Dolphins? I thought. And that's from a Jets fan. They stink.
Yeah.
They stink. I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm getting really loud this morning.
You are getting loud at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Dolphins have it. Like, I like Gesicki as their tight end, but receiving core wise, it's really not much. Devontae Parker, he's either hurt or just straight up inconsistent. You know, I heard they're after Marvin Jones too, but like, if they can't get him, they really don't have that deep of talent. The thing that carried the Dolphins this year was truly the defense and special teams.
But that's the thing is they were almost in a playoff spot.
I get that. Yeah. I just think they need a little bit more offensively too, besides the quarterback.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because it was like they had to rely on Tua and then went to Fitzpatrick when things weren't going right. So I know what you mean, but it's like if they get Deshaun Watson,
it's gonna be an upgrade.
Yeah, definitely, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
No matter where Deshaun Watson goes, I think for any team that gets it, I think it's going to be an upgrade for the team itself and hopefully for him. I hope he goes to a good team and can really show off what he can do, because he is a very talented quarterback. And same for, you know, J.J. Watt. Like you said, he is on the other side of 30, but like Reynolds said, he does have a couple more years left in him. So we'll wait and see. This is just the beginning of a very interesting offseason. We will keep you updated on everything that goes on during this offseason. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we got some NBA talk to talk about. Ryan Reynolds is going to be with us for the entire show. So be sure to stay tuned for all the more of the Sports Fever, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Riding University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, Noel Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs. And obviously our special guest for this show, Ryan Reynolds. He is with us in studio. He's going to be with us for the entire show. And We're going to kick off this segment with some NBA talk. You know, Reynolds is the big Sixers fan. We've talked about his Philadelphia 76ers and how they're one of the best teams in the league. They're top of the Eastern Conference right now. Embiid's having an MVP-type season. Ben Simmons has really, I would say, he's improved on the offensive end, along with just him being this overall player of just assisting and rebounding, playing at a premier level on defense for his position. And also, we got to talk about Seth Curry. Your newly acquired guard, who's having a pretty historic season, 50-50 and 100. So, Reynolds, we've talked about this at length, both on the show and obviously off the mic, about the Sixers and what they needed to do. And obviously, you said you just need to have perimeter players around Embiid and Simmons, and they've done that. And it's really shown as they're one of the top dogs and are going to fight to, you know, make it to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean, first I would like to start with – it starts with the coach, right? I have great appreciation for what Brett Brown did, but it was definitely time to move on. And what a perfect replacement is Doc Rivers. After every game, I can listen to that man's press conferences after every game, no matter if win or loss. Just listen to how he breaks down the team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, one of the things that Doc Rivers specifically said in his press conferences, and I totally understand people's opinions of what Ben Simmons offers on the offensive side. But one thing that you can't take away is that Ben Simmons probably leads the category in most open threes created. Now, when we talk about what the Sixers this season compared to last season, right? Last season, the Sixers had on the perimeter, you had Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, Al Horford. Now, I'm not going to put disrespect to any of those guys because I really appreciated their time in Philly. But this season, you've got Danny Green, Seth Curry, who you've mentioned with the statistics, and a revamped Tobias Harris, who's shooting almost 45% from three-point, and I know Sean knows because Sean has him in fantasy, so he's definitely been putting up numbers. And now this team is playing defense. When you got a guy like Ben Simmons, who in my eyes could be Defensive Player of the Year, to me, one of the best on-ball defenders at his size, can cover anyone. He can cover a center. He can cover a guard. I mean, AC, you know, when the Sixers played the Nets, the moment Simmons went on the Harden, the game changed.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire game changed. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, Seth Curry, you mentioned with the 50-50-100. That's unreal. And I don't think people realize, too, that Seth Curry is second all-time in three-point percentage behind Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
His brother's coach.
Yeah. And it's not Steph Curry who's doing this. It's his brother. And it just shows because, you know, like we said before we went on, I remember I told you guys that introduction they had when they were in the three-point contest and how Seth Curry just kind of just got indirectly roasted by his introduction. They just said, you know, from the Portland Trailblazers, guard Steph Curry or Seth Curry. And then they're like, from the Golden State Warriors, two-time MVP, three-time world champion, you know, Steph Curry. And, you know, I think it was like two-time, like, three-point contest champion. So I think there's a little fire in Seth Curry to wanting to compete with his brother. Obviously, he's not going to be what Steph is or was back in his – or I'd say Steph's prime, even though he kind of is, but maybe towards the end of his prime. But, you know, he's got to put a name for himself, and he's doing that right now, and, you know, and it just helps that it's for your team.
And I just wanted to add two more things. Number one, another reason why I think the Sixers are playing well is the veterans. I mean, over years past, we've had veterans, but this time you're adding Danny Green, who has won two consecutive NBA championships.
He's got three overall.
He was joking. He has a podcast. It's called The Green Room on YouTube. Danny Green, shout out to the boy. He talked about how he kind of joked. He's like, I hope Philly doesn't mess it up for me because I'm going for number three right now. So, but also Dwight Howard, nothing else to say about what he does. He does lead the league in technicals, I think, but that's his job. He's kind of the instigator. And also Seth Curry is Doc Rivers' son-in-law. So I wonder if that does play a little bit of an impact, but because it's like, got to impress the father-in-law, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, if you want the minutes, yeah.
Yeah, the one thing is, he was the one first Sixer to suffer from the COVID bug.
Yeah.
And really affected the team.
And affected the league.
Yeah, he was pretty much the first person to, and when he came back, he was off to a slow start, but now he's kind of been picking it up, so which is good for us, so.
Yeah.
What we need is, because, listen, you know, if you know Ben Simmons isn't going to shoot, you got to put shooters around him. And the shooters around him also helps Embiid, because everyone doubles Embiid. You can't stop him one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It's physically impossible.
Yeah. And speaking of Joel Embiid, you know, this MVP race is starting to really heat up as we get towards the end of this first half of the NBA schedule and move towards the second half. You know, Embiid's kind of been in the race the whole time. You know, it's always been him. At one point, it was Kevin Durant, but then he's kind of slowed down because of, again, he's gotten COVID a couple times, or he's been in contact tracing a couple times. LeBron obviously is in the same category. Jokic has been playing phenomenal, so he's in the category. And Steph Curry has brought himself back into the race. So, you know, Sean, I'll bring this to you. Obviously, you know, you're one of our basketball gurus, and also you play fantasy basketball with us, so you're on. You're constantly looking at this stuff on a daily basis. So in your eyes right now, out of those guys I just mentioned, or a guy I just totally forgot to mention that you believe could win it, who do you think could is now leading it and has the best shot to, you know, get this pristine award?
So I'm definitely a big, big fan of Embiid this year. I mean, I've been watching a lot of Sixers games because, like you guys mentioned, I have Tobias Harris in fantasy. I like to watch my fantasy players. So I mean, the entire time I'm like, oh, give it to Tobias. And Embiid just goes off. I mean, this is definitely the best season that I've watched him so far. I mean, like Ren, like you said, he is unstoppable when you have him one-on-one. I mean, he goes up against some premier centers, some premier defenders, and they can't even stop him. So, and not to mention, he is on, I don't know if they still have the best record. Do the Sixers still have the best record?
It's in the East. Utah has the best record overall, 21-5.
In the East, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the best record, and that's usually what you look for out of your MVP, you know, somebody that really was the most valuable to their team, really helped them win. Because the other guy that I have in mind is Nikola Jokic. But, I mean, obviously the Nuggets have lost a lot more games than the Sixers have. But, I mean, Jokic is unstoppable too. But I think if the season were to end right now, my vote would be for Embiid.
Yeah, and to go back to you, Ronis, why do you think Embiid has now kind of put it all together this year? Is it because of the team that's around him? Is it the coach? Is it all of it into one? Is it because he's stopping with the threes, really, and really sticking to what he knows best is going to the paint? Because that was the thing you told me about, that he was forcing too many threes, and that kind of limited him.
So to answer your question, I think there's a lot of things. So I'm big with my Sixers, so I'm always, what happens behind the scenes? Last season, Joel Embiid did not make onto any All-NBA teams. Can you tell me what centers are better than him on those teams? Didn't even make a defensive team. Ben Simmons made the first NBA first defensive team. That was great.
Besides Jokic and maybe a Vucevic and Jokic. Other than that, there's no one else better than
So that was the one thing. And then one of the things obviously Joel has been known for is having these injury problems. He does have like a back problem because I wonder if that's because of his size and his weight.
Yeah.
But one of the things he focused on his offseason was his conditioning. He mentions that now he has his own personal chef. He has his own massage therapist.
He has like a PT person travel with him now.
He has a person travel with him. Yeah. So that's the one thing too, focusing on his fitness. And again, I think it's also the team, right? Last season you had Al Horford as a power forward. You're not stretching the floor. You're condensing the paint and everyone's going to swarm on you. Now Doc has pretty much said Joel will get doubled. You have to. It's where the other players pick their spots and attack. That's what it is. Every time Joel has the ball doesn't mean he needs to shoot. And the one thing you said, the threes. The one thing I think that Joel's actually done a lot better is working on his mid-range, and even his three-point percentage has gone up too.
What's it at? Because I remember last year it was like low 30s.
Yeah. So, but one of the things I love when Joel faces up at the basket with the center. There's two things that are going to happen. He's going to hit a jumper in your face, or he's going to take you to the rim. He's going to dunk on you, pretty much. And there's not many people. I think there's like, if I had to name two people that can stop Joel Embiid, number one is Marc Gasol, has notoriously owned him. And the other one is Al Horford.
Yeah.
And what did we do? We took him from our rival and then shipped him out for Danny Green. And look what Danny Green's impact is on this team compared to what Horford offered a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think it also credit to
Daryl Morey is too. The man.
Yeah, because he's looking at it from like not just a name and, you know, a name perspective, more just like a team. All right, what does the team need to be successful? We don't need Al Horford because, yes, is Al Horford a great player? Absolutely. He can provide, you know, 20-8, couple threes, but, you know, he doesn't fit the mold of what the Sixers need. So, you know, he sees it differently than what Elton Brand is, but you have a stat that you
want to... So I just wanted to tell you stats. Joel Embiid is averaging 29.4 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 3 assists. Let's see. In the 2020-2021 season, he's shooting 38% from three.
That's a lot better.
54% from the field and 85% from the free throw. But well, I have my own things about with Joel being fouled so many times, but
yeah, yeah.
But Sean mentioned too, I can't not put respect on what Nikola Jokic does as a player. Like, mm-hmm. one of the things that one of the big things from when the bubble started too was Jokic lost a lot of weight.
He did.
He shaved off a lot of weight, and that's what kind of gives him that point forward aspect. Now he can run up and down the floor. He's not going to just be the back to the back. That's why when the Nuggets played the Sixers, I wish Embiid and Jokic played each other, because I would love to see that matchup. Just two colossal giants who are just good at their craft going at it.
Yeah, it could have been a throwback to the days of Yao versus Shaq back exactly. in the day, back in 2002 to like 2005, where they just go back and forth and just in the post, just beating each other down, seeing who could, you know, who can cape first. So, you know, hopefully we get to see that. But real quick, you know, Dom, you know, obviously, you know, you watch a good amount of basketball too. You've been in tune to the NBA season. You know, MVP, if you were to pick one based on the names I either mentioned or you believe deserves it, who do you think right now would be a your top candidate?
So there's a lot of guys that I think are in consideration, including Embiid. I think you guys did a phenomenal report on that. Bradley Beal's been great, but like the Washington Wizards have not been. So it's sad to say that Bradley Beal probably wouldn't be in that much consideration just because the Wizards aren't that great. I think Stephen Curry just coming back better than ever. He's averaging right now 30 on the dot, and the way he's playing the game is just on another level. And even it's a tough one. I know Luka Doncic is going to be up there, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. But even I think Kevin Durant, he proved me wrong. Anthony, you know me. I said that he's going to be still a good player, but that injury that he sustained with the Achilles, it was just too much to where I thought he was not going to be the same player again. And look what he's doing. He's leading the Nets in points, and he's just playing unbelievable basketball. So I even think Durant's in consideration of it easily.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, you know, I said in the beginning, you know, in the beginning of the season when he was going off, he was definitely it was him and Embiid at one point. But like I said, the COVID protocols really have suffered his chances. So hopefully he can stay on the court, because he is averaging 30 points per game. Every stat basically that was from his MVP season from the Thunder, it's better than what it was, you know, in Brooklyn. He's just doing a phenomenal job, and he's our alpha dog. You know, it's not Kyrie Irving, it's not James Harden, it's Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant's on the court, I feel more inclined that we are going to win. When he is not on the court, I'm scared. You know,
same with me with Embiid.
You know.
He's
not missing. I've watched a couple of net games, Anthony, to where he'll just do a jab step with a hand in his face, and he's hitting every bucket that he can.
Yeah.
So when he's on, he is not missing. But I really like the acquisition of Harden. Kyrie, I don't even know what planet that guy's on at this point. But, yeah, Durant is really helping out the Nets in a lot of ways. And it's been a little bit of a rocky road at times with the whole COVID stuff and just the – will the team chemistry work out? But the Nets look like they're looking good with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, no, yeah, they are. I just hope that, like I said, the defense could share, because, like I said, we're the worst in the league. So we just got to be average. You know, I feel like they really got to shore that up. We got Norvell Powell, who's a former Sixer, I might add. He's with the team, so hopefully he does something.
Like him?
He didn't play. I mean, I was hoping I did. He didn't play a great first game, but I'll give him a pass.
He is literally just one of, like, he's the guy you put in the middle. He's not going to give you much in the offensive end.
That's all we need.
All alley-oops and stuff, almost like what DeAndre Jordan does.
That's what we need.
Norvell Powell, I believe the one season when he was in the G League with the Sixers, averaged like 2.6 blocks per game or something. Like,
yeah, so
he's a rim protector. So
that's what we need. That's all we need. He doesn't provide much in the defense. Just get the rebounds, get the putbacks, and just, you know, just clog the paint. Because that was one of the reasons why we lost to the Wizards too. So we just need that presence, and hopefully Iman Shumpert could do something for us too on the bench. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the NFL and talk about another quarterback who is, you know, frustrated with this team, and by the name of Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. There has been some controversy around them and him wanting out of Seattle. So all that and more is coming up on the Sports Fever, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Ryan University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano, and alongside me today is Don DeRosa, Sean Johnson, Noel Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Googs.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously our special guest for the show, Ryan Reynolds. So in the last 2 cents, we obviously talked about the Super Bowl and J.J. Watt's rumors within the NFL and where he's going to land, as well as the NBA and talking about, you know, the Sixers and how they're doing as an overall team, and also giving our takes for the MVP as that is a race that is starting to heat up and with a lot of players in play. But for this segment, we're going to talk about another football star that is also possibly going to be on the trading block, and that is Seattle Seahawks quarterback QB Russell Wilson. He has come out and said that he is frustrated with the team and how that they have not done enough, especially for the offensive line for him. He has gotten pressured and sacked probably the most this season and probably one of the most in the last couple seasons, and it's taking a toll on him. This flashes me back to Andrew Luck when he just got destroyed from the offensive line during his young days as a Colt, and ultimately that's what ended him to retire at such a young age. And Russell Wilson's upset. You know, he's provided a lot for this team. He's brought them to 2 Super Bowls. Obviously, they didn't win back to back, but he's won one. You know, he's always a top MVP candidate for the most part in NFL seasons, and he's just a good guy to be around. He's just a great leader, and he's frustrated. And I think that he put his foot down and said, "Look, do this for me, or I want out." And Reynolds, you know, when we talked about this before we started, you said you're not a big Pete Carroll fan.
Listen, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Seattle lost to the Rams first round in the playoffs, correct?
Yes.
And wasn't that with the Rams with Jared Goff's bad finger?
Correct.
Like, I mean, I totally understand the Rams defense is immaculate, but you got, like you said it best, you can't give a great quarterback a bad offensive line. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. How could you, a guy who's won a Super Bowl ring already, that defense for Seattle is pretty good, I would say.
It was elite.
It was elite. But when you don't have an elite offensive line, I mean, look at Brady. I mean, I understand Brady's Brady, but like, look at that offensive line he had. The Bucs offensive line was great. The Chiefs offensive line was great until they lost their 2 players. So I think Pete Carroll at points needs to take the blame, because, I mean, I'm the one who makes the decisions, but if he's not doing anything to help his quarterback out, like,
yeah,
he has the right to leave. He's done enough for that city. I mean, and also a funny thing, did you see him at the Super Bowl with Roger Goodell?
Yeah,
he looked so unhappy. I don't know what he was doing. He almost like didn't want to be there.
Yeah, he was probably venting to Goodell about something, but Dom, what are your thoughts on this whole fiasco happening over in Seattle? Do you think Russell Wilson is right in that he should want out, and if so, where do you think he should go?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Of course, we're gonna hear hot rumors the minute that a player says they're like, you know, upset about something at least, and the smallest thing gets the whole world going. So, the Raiders have recently been rumored to be trading and shopping Derek Carr, and now those rumors are squashed and squandered for today and maybe tomorrow. And right now I'm hearing that it's like every year they want to trade. I don't really care anymore. I think Derek Carr's all right anyway. He's a lobber. But now they want to go out and try and trade Mariota. He's getting a lot of interest. Maybe the Colts go and take him, because I haven't heard anything about them being interested in Russell Wilson. So I heard, you know, I read an article and I heard that Russell Wilson could be the game-changing move for the Raiders. I was like, yeah, let him build a defense first, but okay. But I think it would be good, because I think they need that kind of guy that's experienced enough. Bad playoff season this year, but otherwise than that, Russell Wilson's been great. Given the O-line that he deserves, the Raiders' O-line has actually been one of the best and probably the most consistent within the past couple years, even when they overpaid for a lot of it and lost in free agency. But yeah, I heard about Russell Wilson, possibly the Raiders. Don't know who they would give up, really, because what do you really have? They're trying to extend Aguilar and anything like that, and they're interested in Juju. Oh, that would be so fun. But Russell Wilson would be a great acquisition. So I don't know. I just know the Raiders want to trade one of the 2 quarterbacks, and if they can somehow get Russell Wilson, that would be cool.
Yeah. And Sean, you know, I want to bring this up to you, because I've been hearing rumors about stuff revolving around the Cowboys and Dak. You know, I've been hearing stuff that, you know, oh, you should trade straight up Deshaun Watson for Dak Prescott, or Dak Prescott for Russell Wilson. I mean, as a Cowboys fan and as a huge Dak fan, as you are, and I certainly became a Dak fan before he obviously got injured horrifically, do you think that's the right move for them to make? Do you think they should do something like that, or do you think they should stick it out with Dak?
I mean, we already have Dak. He's been in the system for like 3-4 years already. I really don't see why we'd trade. I see Dak and like Deshaun Watson is pretty similar quarterbacks. Russell Wilson obviously has the edge on both of them, in my opinion. So I'd say Wilson's better. But, I mean, if you have somebody as young as Dak who, you know, you can – he's still got a lot of growing to do. And, I mean, we saw that last season before he got injured. He was putting up MVP numbers. I mean, if he had played a full season, the Cowboys season probably would have been a little different. We wouldn't have had, like, Ben DiNucci or Andy Dalton. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We got to stick it through with Dak. The only problem is we're not signing him. It's really frustrating as a Cowboys fan because, I mean, all we do is just go through pain. That's all we do.
Yeah, yeah. And Ronalds, I might add, your father, Mr. Ronalds, he's a big Cowboys fan too. So, I mean, what's his – has he talked to you about this whole stuff with Dak and all these trades are going on? Or is he just kind of just like, eh, whatever happens, happens?
He's more of the whatever happens, happens. I mean, after Dak went down, I guess it was kind of hard to watch the Cowboys. So nothing against Andy Dalton. I thought he did a great job coming in. But – I also would kind of wish the Cowboys won the NFC East to prove people wrong, but hey, can't win them all. They could, they should have.
They should have. I was rooting for them. I wanted them to win.
Yeah, but we'll see. I hope Dak comes back ready to go because there's some great players on that Cowboys team.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of like CeeDee Lamb is a great guy. Amari Cooper, they got good guys on that team. It's just. And I don't know how I feel about Mike McCarthy. I'm not going to make a first-season judgment just because he lost his quarterback. Mm-hmm. But there's certain times this season where I'm like, what are you doing?
You mean,
kind of lost the team at points, you know?
Yeah, like I heard rumors he's lost the locker room at points. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Mike McCarthy honestly might be a little past his heyday.
he doesn't have the bad man Aaron Rodgers.
It's kind of crazy because I'll be honest. I thought for the Jets they should get him that season that they decided to get Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Now anything's better than Adam Gase, but the way that worked out with Dallas, it kind of scared me. The only thing I'll say is Dallas's defense is, they stink. They stink. They're brutal. So, and Mike McCarthy mostly worries about the offense, but like even with Dak there, they weren't able to finish games. So I don't know. That's why I'm kind of happy the Jets have Mo Salah. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I've said this before time and time again. It's going to be one of the craziest off seasons we're going to have in football in a really long time. And so it'll be interesting to see, but we got to take a quick break. When we come back, you know, baseball's right around the corner. Pitchers and catchers report to spring training in a couple of days, and there's a lot of news going around specifically with, the Hall of Fame and modifications to that. There's also talk about, there was some talk about the Yankees and their strength and conditioning and how they needed to make changes to that. And also a Red Sox trade that Sean's going to get into later in that segment. But all that's coming up on the final segment of the Sports Fever, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com live from the Riding University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasado. And alongside me today is Sean Johnson, No Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Googs.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
And obviously, Ryan Reynolds is still with us as he is our special guest for today's show. Don DeRosa unfortunately had to leave. He unfortunately had to get to work. Big day today over at Bronc Vision. He's doing the broadcast for them. And Sean will be doing the play-by-play for the game today at 1 o'clock, the Women Face Niagara. So be sure to tune in to his broadcast on 107.7 The Bronc Retro, WRRC2. But we're going to wrap up the show today with some baseball talk. You know, specifically around the Yankees and Red Sox per se. We'll start off with the Yankees. We got big news out of the Hall of Fame. Obviously, we talked about the Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago about this recent class, and it was a shutout. No one got in. There was a lot of controversy. Curt Schilling was very disappointed as he looked like the one to be getting in going into this one, as in 2020, he got 70%, so therefore it looked like, okay, he was going to make the hub. Also considering that no one else really great was about to be hit on the ballot, so it was kind of a lock. He didn't get in. very disappointed. He took his name off the ballot and is going to leave it up to the Veterans Committee in the next couple of years. But the 2020 class, which is obviously headlined by the GOAT himself, Mr. Derek Jeter, and Colorado Rockies legend Larry Walker, their ceremony is unfortunately not going to be virtual. This is kind of big news as, you know, people, the moment that Jeter retired, they were lining up for this day. People were booking hotels way in advance. When me and Reynolds went to the Cooperstown back in 2014, and that seems like an eternity ago, as we were freshmen in high school.
Is it really that freshman in high school?
That summer freshman year, that was it, 2014. Wow. Yeah, people were saying, oh yeah, I already got my, everyone's like already booking it, because it was, that was going to be the biggest event in Cooperstown history when he got in. Unfortunately, it's all virtual, so people who were expecting this are going to be obviously disappointed, but it's still going to happen regardless. But Reynolds, you know, I'll get your take on this. You know, you've been to Cooperstown more than I have, but we've both been there. We've both seen how it really gets during that weekend. It's like a different animal over there. So what do you think that means for not only him, but also for that town itself? Because that was going to be a huge money maker for those 4 days.
Oh yeah, Cooperstown is such a small town. My dad grew up in Cooperstown, so yeah. Once he told me that it's all virtual, it's hard for me to imagine that for a guy that we grew up watching,
mm-hmm.
and for my grandparents loved Derek Jeter. I mean, they both sadly passed away, but like that city was waiting for that moment. And now with all this COVID ruins everything, but it's a lot of money lost. I wonder how people are going to get recuperated for that. Like all the hotels that they booked and
mm-hmm.
it's weird. You know what though? At the same time, I kind of do understand why they do it. I mean, most of those people would be there are older people. It's for the health of everyone, mm-hmm. but I'm just hoping that soon enough we can get back to normalcy, but it does stink that when you're inducting one of the greatest shortstops of all time and no one's going to be there to really see it.
Or celebrate it like it should be, because it was going to be a star-studded weekend. You know, obviously all his buddies from him playing were definitely going to be there. People were saying, you know, obviously Michael Jordan was probably going to be there. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Jay-Z made the trip down there too. He's a big New Yorker, big Yankee fan too, so I wouldn't be surprised if the A-list celebrity showed up to that event. You know, but no, I'll go to you real quick. You know, what do you think this means? You know, obviously I don't think he's happy with it, but I think as him, just as we know him, just being this humble guy, I think he's just happy to just somewhat kind of get inducted into the Hall of Fame. But there's a little bit in him saying, I wish I got to do it in person.
That moment is like, that's something that you can't make up. And I'm sure, you know, every player who retires, most of the time what they say is they want to enjoy the journey, you know, and that's a part of it, getting into the Hall of Fame. Obviously, you know, he's going to get there. The thing that I'm curious to see is, like, you know, the him getting in and obviously getting that ceremony, like anytime people talk about him, it always comes up like the overrated talk. And it's like everyone says, goes on about how he's overrated and this and that. And it's just like it's such a ridiculous conversation to have about somebody who is 3,000 hits, 5 championships, all these numbers. It's so ridiculous. And I'm sure it's mostly about the shortstop position and what he did in the field. But it's like his greatness. It's like the hate that Tom Brady gets, kind of, not to that the level, but it's just mm-hmm. it's just frustrating to hear. And I've been hearing like rumblings about it, like people saying that, making those comments. It's just like, it's so off-putting. It's like, do you really watch baseball? Do you even know what he was able to do in his career? You know, it's frustrating. But, you know, think about it, how he ended his career, how Jeter, you know, went out in his last game against the Orioles. Like those moments, it's like a movie. So obviously he's got to be disappointed that he's not going to be able to kind of press that last button and have that great moment in Cooperstown, and at least not to the extent that it should be. So
mm-hmm. yeah. I mean it sucks. I mean, I was looking forward to watching. Obviously there was no way I was going to get down there. It just would have been chaos beyond chaos in New York that whole weekend. So I would want to make the trip up, but it just wouldn't have been worth it just with everything going on. But yeah, and then also moving on, considering more talk with the Yankees, you know, there was also a report coming out that Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, you know, were told by, I believe, their trainers, they're like, hey, cool it with the weights, you know, the lifting and stuff. Try not to go so heavy on the weightlifting, because we've all said this, myself, Sean and Noah, we've all said this, and Reynolds, you could definitely agree with us on this, is that like them lifting, like granted, these guys are big dudes and they're very muscular for ball players that we haven't seen like in a really long time, but their strength and them lifting so much probably hinders themselves from staying on the field for long periods of time, because they really haven't, you know. Obviously, Judge had the great rookie season, then he had the fluke injury, but then after 2018, like 2019, 2020, he had these nagging quad injuries or the oblique strain, and I think it all comes down to the strength training. I feel like they really just need to focus on just conditioning and getting yourself ready for the long stretch, not for a sprint.
Yep.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I mean, those two players especially just have, in terms of like weightlifting, have a unique body type. So in certain ways, I have to kind of not consistently be lifting a lot, but just keeping the weight up. But I do kind of agree, though, that sometimes all this weightlifting is putting a strain, and there's points in the season. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, from last season. Didn't we have like a fairly rough patch for a while?
It was bad.
And especially in a season like that where we only played so many games, that could have affected you in more ways than none. But let's see. I want to see these guys healthy. I think all Yankees fans want to see these guys both on the field. We have so many great hitters, but when you have both of them in the lineup, it just adds that extra juice, you know?
Yeah. Because, no, I mean, look, LeMahieu's your favorite player, but, you know, he needs, I think LeMahieu, just as much as they do, they need the protection all three of them do in that lineup to really make the whole team just go.
It really is one of those domino effects. Like, once you have one of them out, It does open up spots for somebody else to come in, but you're exactly right, Anthony. Protection in that lineup is the ultimate goal for this team. And I've seen a lot lately about, you know, moving some things around, putting Hicks at the one and putting DJ like at the three. So I actually could see some changes in the lineup. And honestly, I hate saying this, I'd kind of rather see I'd rather see Hicks at the one than the three, personally, just because I think DJ can drive in runs. Mm-hmm. If he gets up, there's already somebody on at second. Like, I think he could add to his RBI total and add to the run scored, because that was something that a lot of times last season was an issue for the Yankees, driving runners in scoring position. Like, that was a huge problem. So that needs to be fixed, and maybe that could be the change. And Anthony, you know that I don't love Hicks at the three, mm-hmm. but I think that it could – DJ being in the third and maybe Judge and then DJ before Stanton, it could change some things up. And I think the protection, like you said, if they're all healthy, all running together, could really help the team.
Yeah, I agree. I think that switch hitting and the speed that Hicks brings to it could really just ignite him. There, and whether you put either Judge or LeMahieu at the two and move Judge down to the three, you know, I think Boone could do work a lot of things around. Let's just hope he does make those changes, and hopefully it works. But real quick before we wrap up the show, there was a trade that did happen with the Boston Red Sox, with the Kansas City Royals, and the New York Mets, that Andrew Benintendi got shipped off to the Royals in a 3-team trade. Sean, he was one of your guys in Boston. Obviously during the championship run, he played a pretty big part in it, but ever since then he kind of slowly declined. And you know, yourself and your cousin Jimmy, who is obviously on the show, if you want to listen to his show, go check it out on our podcasting platforms on Apple and everything. But you guys both said that, look, he's declining, he really needs to step up. But I think they didn't want to wait, and you guys shipped him off. So were you happy with that move, or did you want to give him another shot, or do you think, no, we can't waste any more time with him anymore?
I think it was definitely good to ship him out when we did. It's just I was hoping we can get a little bit of a bigger return for him. But I understand he's not what he used to be. And he wasn't really himself for a long time anyways on the Red Sox. Like I said, we talked about this on Dom's show for a little bit. But, yeah, he was a big part of that World Series team. That was definitely his best year. That entire year he played really well, and then also he made some big plays during the World Series campaign to help us get there and help us win. The one that comes to mind is when he made that diving catch against the Astros in the top of the ninth, I think.
Yeah,
top of the ninth. Regardless, whatever it was. I believe it was at Fenway, so I think it was top of the ninth. But he ended up making a huge diving play. I mean, bases were loaded. There were two outs. It was like a low line drive right in front of him. If he would have ended up missing that, if it went behind him, it probably would have scored two, maybe even three. But yeah, he came down with the catch, and that was huge because it put us up 3-1 instead of getting us to 2-2, especially when you're in a series like that with the cheating Astros. I mean, who knows? Yeah. Yeah, he did make some great plays. You know, he's from Cincinnati. We went to the same school at the same time back when we both lived there. But yeah, I mean, he's just not what he used to be. The return, I'll get into that a little bit. We ended up getting, I guess the big piece out of it was Frankie Cordero.
Mm-hmm.
He's an outfielder. He's just a big pop guy, but he strikes out a lot. Dom knows because he was a Padre for a while. But then we also got, I don't know if it's two picks. I believe it was two picks from Kansas City. It's his players to be named, but I guess that means pick. And then we also got one from the Mets who snuck into that deal somehow. But, yeah, it's an all right return. Hopefully we get one or two guys that can pan out of that. And, oh, we also got a pitcher, Josh Winkowski.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about him. So
yeah, I know nothing about him. But, you know, but, yeah, I think that, yeah, like you said, I think it was time to ship him off. I feel like you guys are in this weird stage as a team. Just you're trying to rebuild but also stay competitive. But I think it's a good time to rebuild. And you guys can kind of stay competitive because you really only have to face, like, the Yankees and maybe the Blue Jays. We'll see how they do because, obviously, it's kind of a new team. They're just throwing kind of new guys together and seeing if they all mesh. We don't know if they will. So we'll wait and see. So you guys could kind of be in the hunt if you guys do get off on the right foot. But, you know, the season's a long way away. Even though I say that now, I'll blink. It'll be April 1st, and we'll be at opening day. But, yeah, but this is going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. Ryan, I thank you for making the trek up here and, you know, being on the show in person.
I always love seeing you. I'd like to say I love being on this show. Make sure everyone who listens to this follows on Instagram, Twitter, follows on Spotify Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Great guys on here who know a bunch of knowledge about sports. So always love being here. Happy birthday to my boy, Sean. I'll see you soon, brother. Hopefully the Knicks money line can cover for you tonight if the Knicks are playing. I don't think they're playing. Are the Knicks playing tonight?
Yeah.
Who are you playing? Because I don't know anymore because Mitchell Robinson's out.
Rockets, I think.
Rockets, yeah.
Ooh.
Rockets.
That could be a play.
Christian Wood, no John Wall. Wow. No Oladipo.
He got hurt the other day.
Oladipo, yeah, that hurts me. But anyway, this is going to do it for this edition of Sports Fever. As Reynolds said, be sure to check us out on Instagram and Twitter, thesports_fever. And you can give us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. And be sure to listen to us on all podcasting platforms wherever you get your podcasting fixture. But this is going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. We thank you for tuning in, and we will see you guys next week, Sunday at 12 o'clock on 1077 The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.